Genesis chapter 12. The book of Genesis chapter 12. Thank you this morning. What a wonderful day that the Lord has made. Amen. 65 degrees, 64 degrees. Yesterday I was out. I was in a t-shirt and I said, where's my jacket at? I said, why don't I have a jacket with me? And then my wife gets here and then she gets in the car. She's like, oh, it's so cold. She got used to Texas weather. We need to keep her here. How many know that? Glory to God. Amen. A sermon entitled Following God. Out of Genesis 12, we're going to go one. We're going to start in verse 1. The Word of God says, so if you can't find Genesis, just start in the first book and just go to flip it up till chapter 12, folks. It says, Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Imagine this, folks. God says, Abram, get up, go. Okay, God, where am I going to go? I'm going to show you. God, when are you going to show me? Don't worry about it, Abram. I'm going to show you. God, I've been doing this for a little while now. God, you still haven't shown me. Abram, I'm going to show you. Verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed. So God, where am I going? He's following God, right? It says he departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Who here is 75? Combined. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for obedience. We thank you for your grace. And we know, God, that as we walk in this path that you have placed us upon, we will never walk alone. We thank you for your grace, your mercy this morning. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. See, you never know what God has planned for you this morning. In October of 92, here it is, I knew about my wife. We grew up in the same neighborhood. Her older sister and I were there in the same grade. She has, it's her older sister, Norma, then Vera, then Maribel. But I knew about them, but she was 3.5 years younger. I didn't really pay attention to her. Flip it sometime, and now, September the 9th, that will always be engraved in our hearts, 9995, will always be engraved because that was the day that Maribel and I got married. On that day, folks, I didn't know exactly that that would lead me to a life-changing experience in my life. See, 4 years go by. And as these 4 years, can I tell you, the first 4 years of our marriage, amen, it was like the Vietnam War for us. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't happy times. We cannot say that we had good memories. We cannot say that there were some good times because the bad, amen, took away the good memories that were built. We were just living our lives. We were just there, just passing time. But here it is, October the 20th of 1999. My life that day going forward would forevermore be changed. See, just like me this morning, you never know what God has in store for your life. Isn't it exciting to be able to stand at a beginning point of your life in Christ, of all that God has for you in His mind? See, can I tell you, I don't know when or what time, of day it was here in our text. Abram had no idea of what was going to happen to him. Can I tell you this morning, October the 20th, I had no idea of what God had in store for my life. I was blind. But by following God and being obedient to God, Abram's life was altered and it was changed. Have you ever looked back at your life and said, what could I have done better? There's a saying that says, shoulda, woulda, coulda. What could have been? See, this morning, it's not about what you could do better. It's about what you can do going forward. Because what you've done, listen to me, folks, those first 4 years of my life, I can't go back and say, those first 4 years of my life with my wife, I can't go back and say, let's go back and do things differently, Maribel. But what we did is we took the opportunity to be able where we were not going to get to year five. Now we are going to be in year 31. God changed our lives. See, what does it take this morning to follow God? It takes listening to the voice of God when He speaks to you. Well, what does God want for my life? I don't know. Well, what does God want for my life? You can go through that the rest of your life. I don't know what God wants for my life. See, it takes you being able to listen to the voice of God. See, God spoke to Abram. The Lord told Abram exactly what was to be the first steps of his journey. He told him to leave everything behind and go to a place where he would lead him. See, God considered God considered that enough to get Abraham to begin his new journey. Abraham knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Has God this morning spoke? Has he spoken to you? Have you heard from God? Most of all of us here this morning have never heard the audible voice of God. Amen. Can I tell you, in my 27 years of salvation, I've only heard it one time. It was the day before I was, it was the day that I was there parked in the church parking lot. And as I was there in the church parking lot, I told my wife, I said, go inside. Sit all the way in the back seat. That way, when the church is over, I can run out the door and have nobody talk to me, nobody bother me. I don't want to talk to nobody. Let me get back to doing what I want to do. That was my plan. But I was sitting there. I had no self-conscious of anything of the things of God. But here I am in my car, and I hear the voice of God telling me, taste and see that I am good. Can I tell you? I had never opened up the Word of God. I was 28 at the time. So I couldn't tell you what I heard that day, if it was the alcohol that was playing games on me or anything, but it was God. Taste and see that I am good. I stepped into the church. Remember, my plan was right there. I was right there where George was. I said, service is almost going to be over. I'm out. Bye. Maribel, that Jesus thing worked for you, but it's not going to work for me. You live your life, I'll live my life. We'll continue living our lives, right? I'm at the altar. I'm crying. Remember that those words, taste and see that I am good. The very next day, or I get saved that day, October the 20th. I go home. I see Maribel doing at that point, which I thought was the worst thing in life. I see her dumping her alcohol down the drain. I said, what are you doing? You're crazy. I said, give it to me. What are you doing? That's when we got home. The next day, I made me a drink, and God spoke to me again. Jesus, didn't I tell you, taste and see that I am good? See, God spoke to me. See, many people, they will probably never hear the audible voice of God. But we do have the voice of God that speaks to us, which is located here. That's how God speaks to you and I. We're not going to hear that voice. But God's voice is already written to you and I here. We just got to be obedient. See, he told him to leave everything behind and go to a place. See, many Christians, we spend our whole life trying to figure out what the will of God is. And we can easily find it written here throughout the pages, embedded into the pages of the Word of God in these 66 chapters or 66 books. See, if we were to just turn through the pages of the Bible, we would be able to figure out what God wants for our lives. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth." So when you are there and you say, "I cannot speak," God says, "Go, I'm going to speak for you." Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." We love that one. We skip 39 because 39 says, amen, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But I don't like that person. Jesus says, if you love you, how many people you hate yourself? You hate everything about you. You just hate yourself so much that you don't do nothing for you. No, you know what we do? We go out and we pump iron to be able to make ourselves look a whole lot better than what we think we are. We go out and we do all because we don't have a problem with doing something for us. But Jesus says, the same thing that you do for you, you have to do for somebody else. You know, I told the church this morning in the Sunday school. I said it's so funny, and it's amusing to me how you got the West Siders, right? The West Side of the church. Then you got the East Side of the church. Then you got the North Side of the church. Then you got the West Side or the South Side of the church. We come into groups and we're like, those on the West Side, on the East Side, we don't want to hang out with them, right? We don't want to hang out with them. Hey, those on the West Side, stay over there. Jesus says, as much as you love yourself, you have to love others. Love your neighbor as you do yourself. See, Romans 12:11 says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit and serving the Lord. See, God this morning considers his word enough to be able to get the motion rolling, to get you started. He considers his word enough, amen, that it should allow you and I to get the things moving. The question is not whether God is speaking, it's whether you and I will listen. We make fun of kids. I can't hear you, right? We make fun of kids. Why are you doing that? Because, Mom, I don't want to hear you. But that's what we do with God. My son, my daughter, see, it's not whether God is speaking, it's whether you and I are listening. See, to follow God, we have to be able to hear. We have to be able to hear when he speaks. You know, it's amazing this morning. Adrian opened up in prayer. Well, we're not going to listen because we don't understand his prayer. Right? God. When God speaks, we have to be able to hear. See, it takes trust. How many know that Abraham had to trust God? See, Abraham had, God called Abraham to a place that he had never been before, calling him to abandon the place of his comfort. Abraham could have said to God, "God, I don't understand why you want me to do." See, We want to try to figure out everything in the will of God before we are obedient to the will of God. He could have questioned, why God? Why leave the place of my comfort? God, I will follow if you give me better and precise directions. God said, Abraham, get up, and I'm going to show you where you're going. See, he heard God, and he trusted God to know where God was leading him. His faith, he had faith that God, can I tell you, he had faith that God knew better than he did. Let me ask you this morning, do you trust that God has your best interest better than yours? See, this morning, you and I have to trust that God knows what he is doing. He is calling you to something that maybe you've never done before. We don't like doing things that we are inexperienced in. God is calling you to step outside of your box. The box is the place of your comfort, the place of your knowing, the place of your, amen, there where you are related to the things. Listen to me. Can I tell you, amen, when God called me to come to Colorado Springs, amen, I could not even tell you on the map where Colorado Springs was. I knew where Colorado was. I knew where Denver was. But I did not know Colorado Springs. See, this morning, do you really trust that God really knows? Do you really believe of what God is trying to do in and through your life? If you have faith in God, then why not trust him? How many here? We have faith in God. All of us would probably raise our hand. Now, can we trust him? Now, can we believe in him? See, to follow God, it takes trust in him because he knows better. It takes a willingness in our lives to change. You know, I'm not talking about it anybody else, but in my life and in my heritage, men are known to be stubborn. Just like I said, it's just me. Because nobody else is stubborn, just us. Right? Can we change to please God? See, Abraham was willing to change everything to do only what God wanted for his life. God told Abraham to leave his people, his father's household. God told Abraham to go to a place that he would show him later. See, it sounds to me this morning, that Abraham would have to go through a few changes in his life. In verse 4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. See, it says that Abram went out as the Lord spoke to him. Abram was willing to change even at his 75 years. Let me ask you right now. God, I can't give you the life that I have now, because once I get a little bit older, then I can give myself to you. Why not give him your life now so that he can just bless your life as you go through life's journey? See, Abram was 75 years old. He was not young. He could have said, God, I'm a little bit too old. Can you pick somebody else? Can I tell you? The tragedies of life is that God would skip you because you disqualify yourself from being used by God. See, nothing this morning ever stays the same. Everything is always changing. You are not the same person. Can I tell you, you are not the same person that you were some time ago. And you will not be the same person in some time to come. I was a good swimmer. And I was a good runner. Did you hear the key word was? I tried to go and run right now. My body says, what are you doing? I try to get into a pool, and my body says, you're going to go down all the way. You're going to sink. See, I cannot relive my yesteryears. I can't do that, folks. I can't do what I used to do. See, the world is not the same as it was yesterday. The reason why we resist change this morning is because we want everything to continue the way that it's always been. We don't want to change. We want it to be the same. You know, I was there when I was in Kansas City. And there were some young kids, 15, 16, 17, maybe at the oldest, 18. And then seated on one of the chairs was a person that was around 39, 40. He called himself the OG. He was doing the things that they were doing because he thought, if I'm with them, then it'll make me feel as I'm one of them. Can I tell you? The OG just means that you're old gone. See, the only thing that ever changes is our minds. Abram's life was going to change whether he went or he didn't. If he didn't go, he would be charged, as the person who willfully disobeyed God. Our lives, our world are changing, and there's not a lot that you and I can do to stop it. What we can do this morning is to align ourselves more and more into what God desires for our lives. Are you this morning willing to change? If you think you're too old, remember Abram was 75. Are you willing this morning to change so that God can now begin to use your life? Can I tell you, If God doesn't use your life, then the devil is using it. Well, I don't want to be used. Well, one of them is using it. One is going to bless you, and one is going to curse you. So which one do you want to choose? Are you wanting to do things differently? It takes, to follow God. It takes to see what God is doing in your life. Don't you think, Abraham was curious to see God's plan? God told Abraham that he would make him into a great nation. Make his name great. Make him a blessing, and through him the whole world would be blessed. Can I tell you this morning? God wants to do something in and through your life also. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord. Hebrews 11:40. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask in the Father, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those that love him. I'm closing. Don't you and I want to see God do those things in and through our lives? You know the amazing thing about it? Here it is, a couple that I knew, that they were already in their early 60s. I'm gonna be 55. But this couple was in their early 60s. And God called them. God, why didn't you call me when I was 20-something, 30-something, even 40-something? God, why are you calling me now? But can I tell you the amazing thing about it is that they went and they pioneered a church. Pioneered means that they did a startup church from scratch in their 60s. God, you've called me. I'm going to do it. They went. They had the best time of their lives. Don't you want that for you? Don't you want to experience the full plan of God for your life? Don't you want to be in the middle? God, I might just be the one on right field who never gets any balls hit to them. But can I tell you, they're in the game. Don't you just want to be and say, God, let me just be in the game. That way I can be able to do great and mightier things to come. See, this morning I want to be in all that God has for my life. To experience this, we have to be able to see. And not only see, folks, but to be in what God is doing here in this earth. God called Abram. Stand up. Let's go to this place. God, where am I? Where are you taking me? I'm going to take you to the through an adventure in life that will forevermore change the course of who you are. I'm going to make you into a great nation. You will be your... Remember, Abram didn't have kids, but God told him, your descendants shall be as the stars in the sky, as the sand in the seashore. God, I think you lost your mind. I'm 75 years old, and I don't have kids. But he became the father. He became the father of our faith. He became the father of our faith because he obeyed God even when he didn't know. He was obedient. He walked. And because he walked, he's the father of our faith. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. You and I this morning are under the blessings that God placed on Abraham's life. You're here this morning, you're not saved. You're here this morning, you're not right with God. It would be our pleasure to be able to pray with you. I'm not going to put you in front of the mic. I'm not going to put you to speak. All I simply want to do is to pray for you. You're here this morning. You're here. God says, you did not choose me, but I chose you to bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. See, God is calling you this morning. God is calling you this morning. God is trying to touch you. He's trying to bring you into the fold. Aren't you tired of the battles? Aren't you tired of the chaos? Aren't you tired of all that goes on? Your life can change. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Your life can change. You must be born again. Your life can change. For if you believe, you have the right to be called a son or daughter of God. Your life can change. You have to recognize where you are at. Are you in a place? Are you in your box that you don't want to try God? See, God spoke to me and he said, taste and see, Jesus, that I am good. I had no clue, but I tasted of the Lord that day. And my life forevermore, from October the 20th until now and until eternity, my life has changed. You're here this morning. You've never accepted Christ into your life. You want to ask Jesus to touch your life. Stop resisting. Would you give your life to Christ? Simply do one thing for me. You want to give your life to Jesus this morning. Would you do one thing for me? Would you lift your hand? All I want to know is who to pray for. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to put you in front of the mic, but I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you grew up in the church. You grew up in the things of God. But you made a decision to abandon God. And today you find yourself back, or even worse, in a worse state than where you first started. You're backslidden away from God this morning. You made a decision, a willful decision, to abandon the things of God. But God this morning is calling you. He wants to touch your life. He wants to help you this morning. Would you do one thing for me? Would you lift your hand? I want to pray with you. You want to come back? You want to come back to Jesus this morning? Folks, let me speak to you, the church. Is God speaking to you? You hear the voice of God, and you are contemplating whether you're going to do it or not. You will never be in a better place than in the place where you are obedient to the voice of God. Is God speaking to you this morning? Or maybe there's uncertainties in your life. See, following God is not the easiest thing in life, folks. But can I tell you one thing that it is? It's the most rewarding. You will never find yourself into a more rewarding lifestyle than to be in the will of God, in the things of God, in the place of God. And maybe you're fighting this morning. You're trying to resist. Maybe God spoke to you something throughout the sermon, something that was said, something that you were already battling with. But God is trying to help you this morning. We're going to open up the altars this morning, amen. A place where you can come and talk to God. The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God this morning, amen. Come, lay hold of God. Maybe you're battling God. You hear, and just as I said, God, I hear you, but I hear you speaking, but I don't want to listen to you. Because it's not whether God is speaking, it's whether you and I are listening. When we listen, we're obedient. Obedient to what God is telling us. You will never go wrong if you are in Christ, because you are under the protection of the fold. I didn't say it was going to be easy. I said it was going to be rewarding. Because you're not fighting this battle alone. But you're allowing God to guide you this morning. Miss Jackie, Jesus wants to heal you. Is there things that you have to let go to allow God to be able to do a miracle? Huh? those things are allowing our faith to dwindle, right? God wants to do a miracle in your life. Won't you stand? Won't you stand? I just want you to what eye is the eye that you cannot see? Okay. So what I want you to do this morning, folks, let's pray, okay? What I want you to do this morning is I want you to say, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to strengthen me. And Lord, I need you to forgive me for doubting you, for not trusting in your word and in your promises that you have towards me. For your word says that the thoughts that you have towards me, say it, they are of good and not of evil. They are to give me a hope. And Lord, I ask you this morning to forgive me for doubting you. Help me, Lord, to trust more and more in you. Forgive me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship Jesus this morning. Father, we thank you, God. God, we love you. We thank you. Jesus, we worship you. God, we magnify you. Jesus, we love you. God, we worship you. John, put something up in the front. Anything. In the screen. What does it say? Can you see anything? Can you see this color that I of the shirt that I have? What color is it? Like beige. Beige? Of course, you can see it, right? God is wanting to do a miracle in you. God is wanting to do a miracle through your life so that others will know the power of God. But we have to put away doubt. God, you can do something for that person, but why not this person, right? Have you told God that? God's going to do a miracle. We're going to believe God that God is going to trust. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, God, I pray for Miss Jackie. Father, I pray, God, that you would move mightily, powerfully, God, upon her life right now. Devil, we bind you loose and right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you praise, God. We glorify your name right now. Touch her, God, in Jesus' name, Father. We thank you, God, and we praise you. God, we give you praise and glory, Father. Help us, God, to understand and fully, God, understand, God, those things that you have for our lives. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You said it hurts you. Did you have pain before?
Yeah. A lot of
headaches. Yeah? I want you to check yourself. Kind of like, is there still headaches?
No.
Did you have a headache before you came?
A little.
Yeah? How's the headache right now? Gone?
Gone?
Gone? wanting to do the full miracle in your life. Not just take away the headaches. Huh? God's wanting to do it all. Okay? And we're going to believe God for you. Let's give God glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. Oh God, we thank you.